try it again. So when we open our siddur, there are various parts that we have in the siddur. They have themes. A section of the davening is called the korbanot, the offerings, the birchot hashachar and the korbanot. Then we have a section called Psukei Dezimra. Has a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end. Baruch Shamar at the beginning, Yishtabach at the end. Then we have a section that we call Kriyat Shema. We're reading the Shema. Then we have the time standing before Hashem, the Amida. I want to focus us today on the section of Kriyat Shema, and particularly the fact that Kriyat Shema, which is the recitation of several parshiot in the Torah, is appended by and bracketed by various brachot that were written for us by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. They were written by the men of the Great Assembly. Includes sages, includes prophets, as the sages teach us in the Gemara Megillah. There's a whole amalgam of 120 sages and prophets among them who wrote these prayers. We have two brachot before Shema and one bracha after. What I want to focus us on today are just a few words that I actually put on the cover right here. Or chadash al tzion ta'ir. May a new light shine upon Zion, upon Zion. And I want to parse this a little bit together with you today in light of the reality that when we read the brachot before the Shema, you will recall there are two before and one after. The two before each have a theme, a general theme. It's not a mystery what those themes are, or it shouldn't be a mystery. It's explicated in the text of the bracha itself. What clue for us is, let's say, the second bracha is actually a little bit easier to unpack, and we won't focus on it too much today, but the second bracha, anyone remember offhand what it's about? If someone were to ask you, what's the second bracha? It means the bracha, right before you say Shema Yisrael, there's like a bracha. How does that bracha go? Ava, Rabba, Avtanu, Nososfard, Avat, Olam, Avtanu, ends with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaBocher, Ba'amo Yisrael, Ba'ava. Very much about the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. And we're asking about Torah, and Hashem should have rachamim upon us, and our whole Masorah. It's very much our relationship with Hashem. Before we say the words from the Shema themselves, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, we should love God. It's a commandment, in fact. There's a mitzvah of Avat Hashem. There's actually, before that, a preamble. And the preamble says, you know what? Hashem loves us. That's the preamble. That's the bracha immediately before we say the words Shema Yisrael. That bracha is about us as a nation. It's about our history. Bavur avotenu shebatchu b'cha. Because our forebears trusted in you. Vatlamdeim chukei chayim. You taught them ways of living. Meaning through the Torah. It describes, mentions the Torah itself within that bracha as well. There's a bracha before. The bracha before, if someone were to ask, well, what's it about? You could say, well, loosely, it seems to be about. What would you say? If someone were to ask you. Feel free. There's no right or wrong. Well, there is a right or wrong answer, so I guess that's not true. But what do you? Does anything come to mind? Right. So everyone.
Can you look in a sitter?
What? Yeah, of course you can look in a sitter. If you have a sitter in front of you, you're absolutely welcome to do that.
I don't want to be a cheater.
No, it's not. You're not a cheater at all, right? We say Baruch Hu. If you're in a shul, there's a Baruch Hu. Yotzer Hamaoros, right? So we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who creates the luminaries, the lights. Right, that's actually what we talk about it. The blessing is appended on both sides with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. That's the syntax very often. What's called a bracha aruka, a long bracha. It starts Baruch Atah Hashem l'kem acholam yotzer or uvori choshech. God, you're the one who fashions the light and you create darkness. Oseh shalom, you make peace. Uvori hakol, and you create everything. Then there is a whole section that we have. We'll parse in a minute. And it concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMe'orot. Hashem, blessed are you God. You're the one who fashions the lights, the luminaries. What are these lights? So most obviously and directly, seems to be the sun and the moon and the stars. That's the Me'orot. We quote a pasuk from Tehillim, where we actually make mention of this. It's from a chapter of Tehillim that everyone knows, probably from your Pesach Seder, and you know it if you daven in the morning, on Shabbos, so that's in Psukei Dezimra. It's chapter 136 of Tehillim. It's 26 set lines. They all end the same three words: Ki Olam Chazdo. For God's kindness endures forever. Hod L'Shem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chazdo. Right, on and on. So in there, Leose Orim Gedolim Ki Olam Chazdo. God makes great lights, right? For His kindness endures forever. We quote that toward the end of the bracha. This bracha about lights and luminaries. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created in the context of having spoken about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world, the Borei Olam, and also of the creator of dimensions that are beyond our sights and sounds in the here and now, in the theater of physicality. And that's the creation of, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bori Olam, he's Bori Kedoshim. He creates what are known by the text of the Siddur itself as the holy ones. It refers to malachim, to angels. And then we say, oh, by the way, the angels sing songs to you every day. And how do they go? Kadosh, 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 baruch kevod Hashem, etc. There's a dialogue going back and forth between the malachim. And that is how they sing praise. And then we say, we're also going to sing praise of Hashem. That's what we're doing. So we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, both in the physical sense of creation and the spiritual dimensions of creation. It's all in that bracha, all rolled into it. If you turn to page 2 over here, right here, there's a satellite photo from 2014, apparently. Found it online, open source. So it's just interesting. It's a night from a satellite, a picture of Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, etc. A lot of lights over Tzion right now. Yeah. So in blue, right on the top of page 2, I gave you just the beginning of the bracha, the end of the bracha. The first line and the last line is in blue. And in the middle of it, sort of like a structure, you see, Hameir La'aretz L'dar Mele Barachamim, God who illuminates the earth and those who dwell upon it with mercy or compassion, Uvituvo, in God's benevolence, Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid Masiv Rishit, God renews every day the acts of creation. It's happening on an ongoing basis. We have a whole section of the bracha, goes on for a little while, and then the concluding section reads, again, the same sentence, HaMechadesh B'tuva B'choyim Tamid Masiv Rishit, God who renews daily, and forever, for all time, I should say, the acts of creation. Ka'amur, as it says in chapter 136 of Tehillim, La'ose Orim Gedolim Kilam Chasdo, God who fashions the lights, the luminaries, His kindness endures forever. And then we have the line that is the title of this year. Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir. May a new light soon shine upon Tzion. V'nizkeh chulanu meheira le'oro. And may we all merit speedily to its light. We should have the benefit of its light. Yesterday in Shul, I actually talked about this in a bit of a different context, but I'm going to put a different spin on it. So if you were at oratory yesterday, maybe you got like the introductory remarks that relate to this, but I want to turn things a little bit of a different direction today. What is this new light we're referring to? And let me ask, just in case I haven't made it patently obvious yet, what does it mean that it's referring to Tzion? What is Tzion? Where is Tzion? It's kind of a giveaway in the picture, right? It's Eretz Tzion. It's Eretz Yisrael. It's Yerushalayim. But I just finished telling you that there's two blessings before we say Shema. The second blessing is about Jewish nationhood and peoplehood and talks about our forefathers and our whole Masorah and our Torah and talks about mitzvot and asks us that God should help us to unify our hearts, to serve God faithfully, etc. Remind us that Hashem loves us as a Jewish people. And the first bracha I told you was not about the Jewish people. It's about a Kadosh Baruch Hu as not the one in a relationship with us, as the Jews, but rather, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, created the whole universe. It's a universal bracha. It doesn't mention the Jewish people. And we live that way. I mean, obviously, our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu dates back to the first moments of Jewish history, Avram and Sarah, etc., our great Zadie and Bobby. But actually, there's an ongoing relationship that even in a certain way predates that. The idea of Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, the idea that there is a world, that we are in it. And the fact that somehow someone from the Anshe Knesset HaGdola would have inserted that a new light should shine upon Tzion should give us pause. What are you mentioning Israel? Isn't that the country, the place, the location for Klal Yisrael? That's the place of the Jewish state, the Jewish kingdom, etc. What are you inserting a national? If they were asking me, they didn't ask me, thank God, because I would have the wrong answer. I would have said, well, things about Eretz Yisrael and Tzion and Judaism, that goes in the second bracha. Is that? God, you gave us a whole patrimony, and that patrimony began with someone who sought out Eretz Yisrael. So that's where it belongs. Bavur avotenu shebat v'cha, batam deim chukei chayim. Starting with, I don't know, lech lecha me'aretzchem, alalchem beitach v'idach al'aretz asher erecha. But no, instead it's in the universal bracha. So this gives me pause. And I say this bracha as you do every day. And I wonder, what is it doing here? Or chadash, a new light should shine upon Zion. And may we all be meritorious to merit its light. You follow the question? Bracha number one is universal. Bracha number two is national. It's a loose definition. But in the universal bracha, it's mentioning Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't have put it there. I would have put it in the second bracha. It seems to be more of a national issue. But as it will turn out, and now we'll go to a new deeper level. But I want to show you today a little bit from the world of halacha, but also from the world of chassidut, is a little bit of a different understanding of what we mean. We refer to this idea of this new light shining upon Zion. So open with the Tur. The Tur, he was the son of the Rosh. The Tur wrote a voluminous halachic codex. It became the basis for the Shulchan Aruch. And the Tur quotes his father, the Rosh, and explains why it is that we have this, why we're referring to this line. You know, we say, God, you made great luminaries, and Hashem, she caused new light to shine upon Zion in the future. But Amar, I'm the third line. I'm right now up against where it says, you see the picture on the left side? So it says there, Jerusalem, if you could see it there, very faint. On to the right of that, it says Tur. So that's a quote from the Tur. On the third line there, V'aduni Avi Harosh Zal Katav B'tshuva, Dehavi Shapir Me'ena Chatima Upticha D'Yotzeor. It fits that what is spoken at the beginning of the blessing, that God causes light to shine upon planet Earth or upon the world, the physical world, Hameir La'aretz L'Darim Alea, and what is at the end of the bracha, toward the end, as it's coming in for a landing, which there's a syntax when we have a blessing, that the end of the blessing should sort of summarize what the content was when it was a very long bracha, in bracha aruka. So they're the same. They're the same theme. It's me'ena chatima upticha diyotzer or. How is that? Hainu or shebara kodesh baruchu misheshit yamei breshit. It is the light that God created at the beginning of the 6 days of creation. But the world was not worthy to use this light. Hashem hid away the light for the righteous in the future. And this is a cryptic statement in and of itself, since it's very mystical. It is. But there's something here about the idea that the light that's being referenced is somehow the light from the time of creation. What is that light? Well, everybody knows the beginning of Bereshit, you know, by heart, I'm sure, right? The beginning is the first thing Hashem says, is let there be light. So, let there be light, and there's light. And we know that that light is not the light of the sun and the moon, because the sun and the moon don't show up until the fourth day. So, it's the first day, what's the or? Say the or. It's some kind of a light. Now, what light is this? We'll have to define a little bit better, but goes on, the rush goes on, quoted here by the Tur. Val or zenemar. Regarding this light, it says in the book of Yeshayahu, in a section we're going to read together, Parsha Ki Tavor, a few weeks from now, it's the Haftorah, V'halchu Goyim Le'orech. The Navi Yeshayah says, in the name of Hashem, to comfort the Jewish people, the nations of the world will walk by your light. By the light of, seems the Jewish people's light. V'hainu Nami or Chadash. And there, and this is also the new light, Shechidesh B'Sheish Jemei Breshit, She'adit Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Chadesh Lanu. And this new light refers to the light that God made new at the time of the 6 days of creation, which in the future, God will renew and give to us. Can it be that you're putting some dots together? When we think about Zion, we think about Zion as the place of the Jewish people, it's the place of our nation, state, etc. But right here, from the Tur, quoting from his father, from the Rosh, you're getting a different flavor. Or chadash al tzion ta'ir, v'nizkech ulana mehirah le'oro. There's something about a universal vision that's going on. I have two hands in the back. Oh, sorry. Hi.
There has to be world recognition.
Oh.
And you have your 70 nations.
Perfect. Exactly. So there has to be some kind of recognition at the time of the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu, is that there is a universal component. That's the whole idea. Right? And therefore you have a telos, you have a certain what's called the telos of the creation of the world is from Masa Breshit all the way until, and we're going to get to a time period of the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu. The light is shining on Zion, but not because it's just for Zion, just the place of the Jews. Davka, it's shining to the world. V'halchu goyim
l'orech.
Or l'goyim. This is where it's from. It's from Yeshaya Hanavi, all right, quoting, this is his Nevuah. This is what he's teaching, he's reminding us. And where is it encoded now? It turns out it's in our davening every day. It's a universal bracha. But the Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir reminds us we have a role to play. We have something we need to do. And it's not just for ourselves, for Klal Yisrael, but it does have a universal element to it. If you look with me at the next source, I scanned in from the Gemara and Chagiga, this is what the Rosh is referencing. And it describes the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Or Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yom Rishon, Adam Sofebo Misof HaOlam Ve'ad Sofo, from when Hashem created the world at the beginning, in the first day of Adam HaRishon's life, there was light still shining. You could see with it from one end of the world to the other. It doesn't mean he had a telescope. It means on some kind of a spiritual level, he had some kind of a great awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. Let me pause here for a minute. The Hasidim like to say, if you were standing near a window on a sunny day and you stuck your hand out and a ray of light came onto your hand, was shining on your hand, if someone asked you, what is that? Nobody would answer, that is the sun. But what would you say? It's the light from the sun. It's not the sun really, but it's that which it connects us to the sun. It doesn't actually connect us, literally, you can't actually pull on it, etc. But the point is, by way of analogy, you understand that it is something that is related to its source. And it's not tangible, but it's something that we can have some kind of a vision and understand and appreciate. Vayomer Elokim yihi or, vayihi or. The or that we're referring to at the beginning is not a physical light per se, but rather a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the ability for the world to have a relationship with Hashem, or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, V'nizkeh Kulanu Meira Le'oro, who's the Kulanu there. It's not just Kulanu Klal Yisrael, but Kulanu, it would seem, the entirety of the universe. Ose Shalom V'Reit HaKol. So, God makes every... So that's what it's referring to. Now, the Gemara goes on to say, but Kevan Shinistaka L'Kodesh Baruch Hu V'dor HaMabul V'dor HaPalaga, Shem saw, as it were, the generation of the flood and the generation of the dispersion. He saw that these were very, they were depraved generations, etc. Their actions were ruinous. He hid it away from them. A pasuk to quote to back it up. And who did God hide it for? He hid it for the tzaddikim, for the future. Right? Vayar Elokim et ha'or ki tov. God saw the light that it was good. And what is tov? A tzaddik is called tov. Quotes a pasuk also to bolster it. Also from the Tanakh, from Sefer Yeshaya. There's a later example where this comes up in Tanakh, where a certain baby is born, and it says his mother saw he was good. Moshe, right? What mother looked at her child and said, the child isn't good? Of course he was good. Rashi throws in, why is he so good? Because the house was filled with light when he was born. Now, it's only later on that his face, you know, was shining from coming down from Har Sinai. What does it mean the light was filling the house? Because there was an understanding. This is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a destiny over here for this baby. Ki tovhu. Yeah, the tzaddik, right? There's already sort of this idea. And of course, everybody knows, Or Zaru Alat Tzaddik Ulir Shilev Simcha, from Sefer Tehillim. The light is sown for the righteous. What does that mean? It means that the righteous are somehow able to bring out into the world the light that is concealed within the world. How? We're going to see shortly, but to preview it, it's with their actions. With their actions. Now, the Jewish people, when we're in exile, according to Tzedek HaKohen, the bottom page of the page here, page 2, he says that the word Tzion actually is a reference. He based himself on the Zohar HaKadosh. He says that the reference to the Jewish people in exile is that we are called Tzion. In exile, the Jewish people, as a people, so in other words, a physical location in the world called Tzion. But when we're exiled, we are Tzion, wherever we go. This is unfortunately manifest sometimes with people who hate Eretz Yisrael and hate Medinat Yisrael. And lo and behold, they'll find us no matter where we are in the world. It's an uncanny thing and a sad thing, but it's not entirely off base in as much as Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, described here. This is the coin from Lublin. He quotes it from the Zohar HaKadosh. We are Tzion. Now, what does that mean? We're Tzion. Am I living now in Israel? I don't have to go. Oh, this is great. I'm already in Israel. No, that's not what it means. Anybody here who's a teacher? Anybody a teacher? Educator? Are you teaching?
I'm a teacher.
Okay, awesome. So, when you give, do you ever give tests? You get tests yet?
I gave a spelling test.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
In Hebrew or in English?
Well, I was in a public school in the Bronx.
In a public school in the Bronx.
Definitely English.
see, it's all in English. Okay, I'm looking for somebody who gives grades in Hebrew and who writes the grade on the tests, like writes something down, or whoever remembers, what is that grade called in Lashon HaKodesh? What is it called? It's called a tziyun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And someone who's excellent is mitsuyan? Now, that's what it's called. It's a tziyun. That's tziyunim. That's what a tziyun is. Now, in English, you call it that. Those are marks. That's what it means. It's a reflection of that which is a marker that is reflecting. That number is not actually work with me here. They didn't actually perform that number on the test. That number is a reflection of how they did in terms of answering the questions on the test. Okay, it's just a sign. It's a marker. It's a tziyun. And there's a place on planet Earth that's called the tziyun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Tzion. It is the place of the Shekhinah, of which radiates outward to the rest of the world. And that's why Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, in the Galut, in exile, can also be called the Tzion. It's again a quote from Sefer Yeshaya here. V'lomar l'tzion ami ata, you're my nation. Tzion, you're my nation. That's the name of the Jewish people in Galut. Sorry, you want to say
it?
In
Yeshayahu, it also says that tzivila.
That's correct. Beautiful. That's exactly the same line. Beautiful. Exactly. Havu mitzuyanim b'mitzvot and hatzivilach tziyunim. Make markers, make things, right? So what are the marker? To remind you of something. By the by, lahavdol fe'avdolot, but in the halachic writing, it wants to describe a gravestone. The marker is called a tziyun lenefesh chaya. That's why it's called that. It's a marker. It's not the person. The neshama isn't there. It's not in mamash in a physical way in the ground, chalila. The goof, yeah, that's the kli, but it's a tziyun, because really, right? But that's what it means. Tziyun lenefesh chaya, to a living soul. And this is the idea. Now, the first Rashi already on Chumash wants us to know, everybody knows this, in this august group, I know everybody already knows it by heart, so we'll read the whole thing longhand. Rashi asks the question, he quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak, why did the Torah start here? Why didn't it just start with mitzvahs? The word Torah means teaching and instructions. It's from Hashem. So be practical. Let's get started with 62 chapters into the Torah in chapter 12 of Sefer Shmot, the first mitzvah. Give me 50 chapters in Bereishit and 12 chapters in Sefer Shmot, where there's not much going on there in terms of mitzvahs. Yeah, some people say, according to the Chinuch and others, the mitzvah Brit Milah is really there, or they dispute it. They say, no, it's in Parshat Tazria. There are other, Gidon Nasha, all different discussions. But that's Rashi's functional question. It's like, why are you starting there? Why don't you start just with mitzvahs? The stories could be in a medrash. They have to be in the book. Right? We have a lot of books on the shelf. Midrashim, there's Torah Shabbat Peh. There's a lot of stories that are not written in the Torah. So, but there are a lot that are. So you have 62 chapters before you get to the first mitzvah. How come? So what does Rashi say? Because someday, the nations of the world may have claims against the Jewish people. And as Kadosh Baruch Hu, Koach, it quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Koach ma'asav higid la'amo, latet lahem nachalat goyim. Hashem wanted to demonstrate the power of his actions. Did he want to tell this to his people to give them the heritage of the nations? So if the nations will come and make claims, so we'll pull out the Tanakh and say that's our claim, that's our counterclaim. And of course they'll say to us, well, that's your chauvinistic view from your book, which we don't accept. And we'll say, okay, but we don't care what you say. So we go back and forth. Yeah, okay. But the Sfadimet picked up this idea and he tried to explain it a little bit, what Rashi was trying to say, on a little bit of a deeper level. And it's really against the backdrop of what we just talked about before. The Sfat Emet explains the following. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach us here in these stories that there is, of course, a Torah that is written that has a set of instructions that is formal. That we know. That's what the Torah is. But it turns out that there can be personalities who can live in a certain way that their very actions become Torah. In other words, the way that they conduct themselves is with such a high degree of morality that matches what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants at Derech Hashem, that too becomes Torah in the world. And that was what gets inscribed. Hashem Barach Ratzel Varer Ki Gam Olam Hazeh V'chol Abriya Gam Kein Ayidei Koach HaTorah, through the power of the Torah's existence, I'm skipping a bit, the idea of that there's a Torah Shebaal Peh, an oral tradition that precedes a written tradition. You know, you've heard before, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Chet says that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah before it was given. How could it be? Well, he's a prophet, so it could very well be. And not only could it be, but the Gemara says it is. But it's not written in a book. Yes, but who said the Torah had to be written in a book initially? Initially, it wasn't written in a book. Yeah, understand? So, and the idea that Kodesh Baruch, everybody knows the Medrash, and he's quoted here as well in the Sfat Emet, he says, he's Takaburaitu Bara'am. Kodesh Baruch looked in a blueprint called the Torah, and with that he created the world. Not exactly written in the way that our Sefer Torah is written, but with the letters of Hashem, Hashem's name written again and again, so says the Ramban, and that's how he created the world. So then, the actions of the Avot themselves, actually, Nasa Mimasehem Torah, from the actions of the Avot and the Imahot, came Torah. You'll tell me, well, there are many various villains in Bereishit as well, and in Shemot, there are bad people are mentioned. Yes, the point is to contrast the darkness and the light. And to say, okay, but the point is to deal with the realities of struggles that happen, and the reality that this needs and can, in fact, be engaged and elevated, etc. Look with me on page 3. There's an underlined line. It's in blue. I don't know if you can see the contrast. It's right about here on the page. You can see it over here. Okay? And we learn here, right? He writes here, Perush Tzion. What does the word Tzion mean? Hu hanekuda sheyesh bechol davar. It is the point. You can think of it if you need to think of it in a very physical way. It's a point, like the period in a sense, the nekuda. It's a point, which means it doesn't really have dimensions. It's a point that is in everything. Rishima ve'ot lizkor shu me'ashimid barach. Everything in the world, every molecule, every atom, every nucleus, every string, everything that's out there, every quark, everything is comprised, has one little dot, a nekuda, of some kind of an impression and a sign to remind itself, to remind us, if you will, that it's from God. It's from Hashem Yitzbarach, may be blessed. That's really the animating force, as the Sfat Emet, that keeps everything going, and existence doesn't just collapse. Adam hadavuk b'nekuda zu, a person who can cleave to this point, v'chol chiyuto nimshach achar zot nekuda, anyone who can cleave to that point and to its enlivening force, if you will, and follow after this point, can find it and draw it out, nasa shutef b'masa breishit, that individual becomes a partner in the act of creation. Now, right now. There's a discussion here that the point is that there is something inherent everywhere and in everything that is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even after the Bria. So Hashem created the world. Hashem is not the creation. Hashem is over here. The creation is over there. I mean, not literally, but there's a separation between the Bore and the Bria, the creator and the creation. But he left an imprint in everything. There's a dot. There's something there. You know what that's called? It's called Tzion. Now, I'm going to play the film strip in reverse. So the Tzion referring to here is in everything now, it turns out. Is it Tzion that the Jewish people are Tzion? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Tzion? And the idea that all of these things are actually interwoven with each other. The Jewish people are Tzion, representing Tzion as Knesset Yisrael in Galut, in as much as we have a sense of mission. And that mission is, to use the phrase from Yeshaya, it was quoted before, that's the idea of the Or LaGoyim. But the Or LaGoyim, to walk in the Derech Hashem, that's the whole point. And the idea that ultimately, V'alchu Goyim Lo'orech, the nations of the world, walk by the light of Klal Yisrael, means not really our light, the light that we're reflecting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Tzion as that place in the world, which unfortunately the downside is a lot of people are trying to get to it, and to get it, and they want it. But as we have all had these conversations at our Shabbos tables, and was just at the Shal Shudas table yesterday here in our shul, the people I was sitting with, like if you ask a little kid how big Eretz Yisrael is, they're sure that it's like right after the United States, it's the next largest country in the world. They're positive. And you show it on the map, like something's wrong with the map. You know, the zoom isn't working on the map. Like zoom in, it doesn't make sense. So I have a world map in my house that did it with my kids also. I took them over. Find Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, one of my younger kids, like, well, I don't know, where is it? They were looking around the United States, like, it's not there. Go look there. They found China. Oh, it's right near China. Yeah, where is it? They can't find it. But mysteriously, it's not mysterious. It shouldn't be mysterious to us. We shouldn't take it only as a negative. Take it as a very big point of pride that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding things in a certain direction. or that particularly the Har HaBayit is so sought after. I spoke about it yesterday, but you know, if you just Google, you can use Google to the extent that Google is an authority. If you count up the number of people who affiliate somehow with some kind of monotheistic religion, I'm not claiming they're all monotheistic. I'm just saying they're in the Parsha. They're not mamish bowing down to constellations and I don't know what and pieces of wood. You know, there's something there that's connected. It's like half the world population. Someone connected to Yerushalayim. Someone connected. So, okay, this thing's moving. I don't know what the pace is, but we see that there's something that's happening. And that brings us to this coming weekend's Haftorah, which ends with a line that seems to be hopeful. I think it is hopeful. Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. We learned that Tzion can be redeemed through mishpat, and its captives can return through tzedakah. Right? So there can be a return. And it tells us the royal road to get there. The Mitzudat David says this is the mishpat that Hashem, that will be the mishpat that will be done within Tzion. So that will cause a redemption. Shaveha, those who are captives, who are out of the country, or out of Israel, but you could say also who are in exile, through tzedakah, that they will do, they will come back home. The Malbim, along the same lines, a little bit different. Right? He says the capital city is Tzion, Yerushalayim, that there was a miscarriage of justice, so it will be redeemed. When people will do mishpat again, justice will be meted out, means that there will be, through that, will pidut v'hatzala, means redemption and rescue, will arise. Shaveha, Shevet Yehuda, the Jews from Judea. Sheyashuvu el Tzion, minagola, though in exile, they'll come back home. Shayachat ta'am b'ma she'ivtu tzedakah ben adam l'makom, they had done something that wasn't positive, in other words, they perverted something involving the righteousness between the humanity and Hashem, so that will be redeemed through tzedakah. They'll justify their actions, means they'll turn back to the right kind of a path. Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. The question that came up from the Admor HaZaken of Chabad, of Shnei Zaman of Liad and Likutei Torah, is on the back page. He says, I don't understand. Why did it have to say in the verse, Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah? Couldn't it have said Tzion b'mishpat u'tzedakah tipadeh? We have two things here. We have Tzion is going to be redeemed, and then we have in the captives through tzedakah. And he wondered if perhaps there are two different layers going on here. There's something called Tzion, and there's something called the those who have gone to the shavi out to captivity. And let me briefly explain to you what he talks about over many, many pages, a very involved idea. But I thought it was important and instructive for our feeling when we're davening, and not just in terms of a national sense of mission, and not just the light that's reserved for the tzaddikim. By the way, where are the tzaddikim? So before we look for the tzaddikim of every generation, you know, so we have to try our best. Maybe we're not going to get there. We try our best and our dalet amot to call a person, to look in on somebody, to say a kind word to somebody, to help somebody. I mean, right? These are all ways that we can aspire to it. To help somebody do a mitzvah, to bring someone closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to learn a little more Torah. There's so many different things that we can do to connect ourselves. And in fact, v'nizkeh chlon meher l'orom, should be zochet to the light. Okay, we're waiting for Hashem, we're davening to Hashem for it, but we also have to do our part. Man. We have to try what we can do. It's a sense of mission, and it's a universal goal. It's not just for Klal Yisrael. It starts with us, but it doesn't end with us. Said the Admor HaZaken on this score, he said, I'm trying to understand why it has two layers, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, and also the Shevi will come back. It's almost as if Tzion refers to something that needs rescue, because it is it's either covered over or something about it that is has a husk, has like something that is has dimmed it, and the shaveh b'tzedakah sounds like something that has left, has gone away. And he tried to understand this. Again, it's a very long and involved essay. I gave you just a little bit from the end of it. So he follows also in the line of Hasidim, who hold that the word Tzion is not just a place on the globe, but is actually a point. It's something that exists from a spiritual perspective, whether it's in a nation, whether it's in everything in the Bria. He centered it on, specifically, on the heart. Ketiv, he writes, I'm here on page 4 at the top. Ketiv, Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh, Sion Lashon Siman. You have it right there, quoting from Sefer Yechezkel. The Tzion refers to something that is a sign. On a Siman, a quote from the Zohar, Kadosh, not for now. V'hanu b'chinat pnimit halev. This refers to something that is the inward dimension of the heart. I'm not referring here to the pulmonary, to the cardiovascular system, but to the seat of the part of an individual where emotions reside and where commitments reside and where love and hate resides. It's a more basic level, even in a certain way more physical, but a more basic level within human construct, within which is not the same thing as the mind. It's the lave, it's the heart. It's what we say when we mean what I feel in my heart. We're not referring literally to, even though that the manifestation physically is about a pumping heart, but we're referring really to the emotional component. So he says, this is Bechinat Pnimiyut Halev, Ve'ahava HaTiviyut, Ve'ahava Pnimiyut, HaMesuteret B'Lev Ish Yisrael. In the Torah of the Admor HaZaken, there is a point within every single Jew which is a natural love that they have, that is sometimes a hidden love that a Jewish person has for Hashem. It can be covered over. There can be a great husk that falls upon it, but it is still there. It is inviolate. It is a marker that is indelible. It does not move. But sometimes it goes to exile, means v'gam hi begalut. It is exiled, means that one loses touch with this part of oneself, with this tzion, which is the tzion, again, of that nekuda, of that point of a connection to Hashem. And when that happens, v'tipadeh b'mishpat, how will it be redeemed? Through mishpat. What is mishpat? Literally, it means justice. But again, we're dealing here on a channel that's like a lower, I don't mean lower in its level of sanctity or something. I just mean it's a deeper level. It's the word I was looking for. It'll be through justice. Justice means something that's an orderly process. Says the Admor HaZaken, Hainu halachot. It means halachot. Ketargum ha-pasuk, kemishpat ha-rishon, kehilchata kadmaita. It means the following of the halacha, which is a way of going, a certain path of activity. V'hainu, kemosha amru, rabbetinu zichonu levracha, ena galut mikansot, ela bizchut ha-mishnayot. Shenemar ki yitnu, gam ki yitnu bagoyim, ki ha-Torah or. I'm just going to focus on the last part there with the Torah or. He's basically trying to, the gist of it is, Tzion, how does one reveal that which is within them, that is the element, that's the ava, the love that exists within every Jewish heart for Hashem? It can become very, very exiled, means that one is totally out of touch with it. The only way to get back in touch with it is to recognize that the fulfillment of the Torah that we have, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, mitzvot, etc., through practical processes, that is actually the way to draw one closer. He has a big explanation of how one gets there that I can't give you the whole recipe today. But he said there is a way, and that's because the Torah itself is a source of light, i.e. it'll connect us to the tziyun that is within every person. But this exile can happen. It can be very, very bad. A person can be very, very exiled from themselves. But he refers to this idea that's tzion b'mishpat tipada. There's an orderly process that one can engage in order to draw out from that place. But there's another layer, another dimension. And this other dimension is one that requires tzedakah. V'shaveh abit tzedakah. What is v'shaveh? It's captives need tzedakah. Explains Abner Zuckerman on the second paragraph now on the page. Finishing now in about 90 seconds here. Shnei chalalei halev. The two cavities of the heart. This is also a spiritual idea. That there's deeper layers of what's going on in the internal process of a human being. But he writes, Shem Shvuyim Mamish. These aspects within the heart are actually in captivity. Because every heart, he says, is engaged with both a notion of simcha and a notion of merirut. Merirut means like something that's bitter, like marah. It's an element of bitterness that every human heart contains within it. And there's an element of joy, of simcha, every human heart. They can be out of whack. They can be off balance. And sometimes someone can channel their sense of bitterness, their feeling of embitterment about what they're missing from their relationship with Hashem, meaning I can do better. It's a feeling that leads to tshuva. Or a person could have already allowed that sense of embitterment to be channeled another direction. I'm embittered that I haven't received enough of my due in this world. I didn't make enough money. I didn't get the right job. I don't have the right material possessions. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. It's all about this worldly moments. It's not about relationship with Hashem whatsoever. It's about focusing just with my eyes looking downward on the lateral plane, or worse, looking downward completely. And he writes this, Vishaveh, meaning those who are captive, those aspects of the self, not this inner inviolate part that is unique and solitary and singular, and that is our relationship with Hashem that doesn't change, except it needs to be revealed. There's something else. A person's priorities can be messed up to the point where they've gone into captivity. A sense of embitterment in their heart is about chesronei ha'olam hazeh, v'chein ha'simcha shahayta ru'u liyot min ha'mitzvot, and the joy a person should find in doing mitzvahs, now is totally changed over. The simcha they get instead is from fulfilling desires in a this-worldly fashion. It's as if their emotional register has gone out into captivity. Why gone out? Because other priorities have filled that void. And that's where the emotions are being channeled. That's not true for Tzion. There's no counterpart to Tzion. Tzion is unique. There can only be one. And the idea, therefore, that it is either covered or uncovered. But when it comes to the part of the aspect of the person, of the Shevi, what goes out to Shevi, that's on an emotional plane. A person's priorities can start be going in different directions. That aspect, Vehema Yiftu B'Tzedaka, that can only be fixed through tzedakah, meaning rachmanut al ha'ani, engaging in acts of compassion for others. Umida keneged mida rachem aleinu, have mercy upon us. V'tein b'libeinu bina, ubina aliba. The idea that the heart is associated with the aspect of bina, and that's why we daven in the second of the two brachas for the Shema. We say v'tein b'libeinu Ashkenaz. We say v'tein b'libeinu lahavinu lahaskil, etc. In Nosach Sfar, v'tein b'libeinu bina. We're looking for that. We're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu to help us with it. Let me sum up what we just saw just in this little section here, and then I'll close. What the Admor HaZaken is saying is essentially that an individual has an aspect of Tzion that is in their heart, but that can be covered over. Exile is not just what happens on the national plane. The Jewish people were exiled from Yerushalayim, means there was a place on the globe and we were moved away from it. Exile is an inner state. It's a feeling that I'm so far from Hashem. And that feeling of exile is what we're trying to make redress for in the time period of the 3 weeks, the 9 days in Tisha B'Av. A feeling that the Tzion, that is me, is far from Hashem. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh. Tzion can be redeemed. Even in a time when, on the external side, we are sad. And we're going to, have to. It looks like we're going in that direction. I hope it doesn't go there. But it might go there. We have to observe Tisha B'Av as a sad day on next week. It might happen. And if it does, okay, so a person says, I'm so far from Hashem, but I know there is a Tzion. And I'm davening for the redemption of Tzion. I'm davening every day, or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir. May the light shine, again a renewed light shine, not just on Tzion, the national, the universal, but the Tzion that's inside me. Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'ir. Hashem, please give me a little bit from the light from the beginning of creation. Let me renew myself. I'm davening for me, I'm davening for everybody else that I'm davening for. We should all be able to recapture that light, to come back to it again, to come back to that place. If we can do that, then hopefully, based on the Radomsky, I'll just quote you the pasuk, we say it every day in davening, Yismach Yisrael Be'osav, B'nei Tzion Yagilu V'malkam. May Israel be very happy and gladdened through the one who made them. May the children of Tzion rejoice in their king. Yehallelu Shmo V'Machol. It should give songs of praise, of Halleluka, with a dance. Betof V'Chinur Yizamrulo, with the timbrels and with the string instruments. May they make music to him. May we be zochim to that as well, to find that light, to daven for the redemption of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh in the world, the place in Eretz Tzion, Yerushalayim, and Eretz Tzion should have that light radiate out, but also our own light within, or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, V'nizke Chulanu Meher L'Oro. Wish everyone a good rest of the day. Adkan.